Lord, grant, O God, that I may extract from these accounts something very profitable for your people, something that we can take home today and ponder as we reflect on the changing situations in life. Sometimes, Lord, we take a spill. Sometimes that spill is so bad that we turn head over heels and somersault, not meaning to. Lord, grant that we may hear your word and respond to it because of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit for the sake of Jesus. Amen. I want us to reflect for a moment on the week ahead. Actually, today is Easter if you go by the Jewish calendar, because Passover began Friday night. But we follow the church calendar and not the Jewish calendar, rightly or wrongly. So it's okay to celebrate Palm Sunday today and Easter next Sunday. But the Jewish Passover began sundown Friday. Think of the week that lay ahead for Jesus. Can you imagine the enthusiasm, the crowds? I mean, it was like, and I've never been to a rock concert. Actually, I was. I was selling soft ice cream in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, while Sandy was pregnant and I was going to seminary and I worked part-time. And I didn't stay on that job very long, but we went with a guy that was training me to a rock concert to sell ice cream. Wonder why? I think people get the munchies. But that was back in 1970. So anyhow, I did witness a rock concert. And imagine it. Must have been exciting. People shouting, hey, oh, wow, look, here he comes. Wow. Amazing. And that's how they greeted Jesus. People are so excited he's coming. We celebrate Palm Sunday with palm branches and celebration. Hosanna, loud Hosanna. And I noticed the hymn was written by somebody from New Orleans. No, actually, Theodolph of Orleans is not a musician in New Orleans. All glory, laud, and honor. But we celebrate Palm Sunday. But it's a celebration of appearances. Because underneath all of this acclaim and shouting and celebration and children, all of this going on, people's excitement, Jesus knows human nature and Jesus knows what lies ahead. And he knows what is coming on his people, the Jewish people, because we see it there. In those words, in verse 44 of Luke 19, they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. How terrible. Have you ever thought about how terrible war is? War is sometimes necessary, but war is always terrible, with terrible results. That's why we should have a strong military, but not use it. Because a strong military is the greatest force for peace, because enemies then refrain from attacking you. Wow, you ever thought about the desolation of war? Jesus thought about it. Other times in the history of Israel, this had happened. When the Assyrian army surrounded Samaria in 722 BC and it fell, these very things happened. Do you know what the Assyrians used to do with cities that rebelled against them? Cities that resisted them and made them fight? They took the skulls of the men and stacked them up outside the gates of the city. War is always terrible. Have you ever thought about what happened to the German people in Berlin when the Russians took it? Wow. People risk their lives, they've lost loved ones, they're full of rage, and now those that have caused their hurt, they're going to impact. The Assyrians took Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, in 722 BC. And they did all these horrible things. The Babylonians took Jerusalem in 586 BC, and they did all these terrible things. Have you ever meditated on the 137th Psalm? By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Jerusalem. And that psalm, that beautiful psalm of lamentation, as the mockers said, "Hey, we heard you guys can sing well. Sing us one of the songs of Zion." And you know how they closed that song? "Daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction, how blessed is he who will take your little ones and smash their heads against the wall." Do you mean people do things like that? Do you mean people do things like that? Have you ever thought about post-traumatic stress disorder? What people see? What people remember? And guess what? Sometimes PTSD is not what people have seen that have been done to them and their friends, but it's the memory of what they've done. When the restraint of civilization is pulled away and the rage within explodes and people do things they would never do otherwise and they're haunted by the memory of it. PTSD is real. And that's why we have to have a strong military to use it as a deterrent to aggression. But adventurism and trying to take over the British Empire is an exercise in foolishness, bankruptcy, and cruelty. The Romans were no better than the Babylonians, no better than the Assyrians. Do you know that in the month of Av, which is our July and August in the Jewish calendar, on the ninth day of Av, in the year 586 BC, the Babylonians destroyed the Jewish temple? And did you know that on the ninth day of Av, in the year AD 70, the Romans destroyed the Jewish temple? The same day of the same month, centuries apart, 586, 70 AD. Have you ever read any of the account of the fall of Jerusalem? It's unbelievable. There's one eyewitness to it. He was Jewish. He was a commander of the Galilean armies of the Jews. And he was defeated. And then he realized, hey, resisting the Roman Empire is an exercise in insanity. And so he went over to the Roman side and pleaded with his own people to surrender because he knew what the Roman army would do. The Roman army was like what one of the admirals of the Japanese Navy said in response to this launch on Pearl Harbor. "I fear that we have awakened a sleeping giant." And oh, the destruction that came to Japan in the wake of Pearl Harbor. The sad thing is people look at things, they look at appearances without good sense, with no sense of the knowledge of history, with no sense of the continuity of history, that we do these things and we get terrible results. And Jesus looks at Jerusalem and he knows what's going to happen. He knows that the Jewish people are going to rebel against the Romans in AD 66. And he knows that within 4 years, not one stone will be left standing on top of the Jewish temple. It all will be gone. The only thing, I've been to the Wailing Wall. What is the Wailing Wall? The Wailing Wall is simply the foundation of the Jewish temple. Do the Jews control the city of Jerusalem today? No, they do not. I've been on the Temple Mount. Who controls the city of Jerusalem? Because remember, the control of a city is spiritual. The spiritual control of the site of the Jewish temple is in the hands of the followers of Muhammad, because that is the third holiest site in Islam. Jesus says, not a stone is going to be left. And he says, they're going to take your children and they're going to dash them to the ground. Verse 44, you and your children within the walls, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. So everybody's celebrating on Palm Sunday except for a couple. The Pharisees are concerned, hey, you're out of line, man. We think you're a great teacher, but you're out of line. You need to shut these people up. They're calling you the Messiah. They're saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You need to shut them up. But Jesus isn't celebrating. Isn't it amazing when the guest of honor is not celebrating? Why is he not celebrating? He's not celebrating because he knows what's coming. Wow. And he knows that in spite of all of the accolades on that Sunday, what unfolds in the course of the week, if you will turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, page 1547, he sees what's coming. What's coming? Crowds are fickle, aren't they? The hero who got the touchdown, but then messes up just before the ending of the game and the other team wins, is booed off the field. And the hero that is celebrated on Palm Sunday, Hosanna, O save us, it means in Hebrew. Blessed is he who comes in the Lord, from the 118th Psalm. Now we read Matthew 27, beginning at verse 24. This is the same crowd. The same crowd turned upside down by agitators, the high priest, who were always concerned about their position because there was a lot of money to be made by being in the high priestly family. And they resented Jesus. These Sadducees were like modern Reform Judaism, which doesn't believe in prayer or life after death. You mean that's true? Yes. I have a very good friend who was a Reform rabbi, still is. He's alive. He moved away. Didn't believe in life after death. Well, that's the way the Sadducees were. The Sadducees did not believe in angels. They didn't believe in predestination. They didn't believe in life after death. But they did believe in money. And boy, did they make the money. They made a killing off of the temple because they had worked it all out. And they're stirring the crowds. And look, verse 24, Matthew chapter 27. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, and there's a picture of a politician. What's a politician do? Well, I'll tell you this. No, I'll tell you this. He learns to speak out of both sides of his mouth. Because a politician, to survive, has to be what? Slick. Because a politician has to please people. And it worked well in the old days and before there was radio and television. You give a stump speech one place and a stump speech in another place. But there's Pilate. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, and that's the ultimate offense for a politician in the Roman days, serving under the Roman governor, under the Roman emperor. He took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd. We get a lot of modern figures of speech from the Bible, don't we? Washing my hands of this. And he says, I am innocent of this man's blood. Was he? Of course not. Passively, he was guilty of that man's blood, crucified under Pontius Pilate. He said, "It's your responsibility." Look at verse 25. Think of it for a moment. Think of it. Just think of it. The crowd responds. The one who on Sunday they had been shouting, "Hosanna in the highest! Glory to God, the Messiah!" is now shouting on Friday. On Friday. How many days? 'Shouting what? His blood be on us and on our children!' What? Are they insane? The last part, did you hear it? His blood be on us and on our children! On our children. On our children. They called down a curse on themselves, a blood curse, and they called it down on their children. How do you get out from under a blood curse? There's no way but one. And it's the way you get your sins covered. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus washes away every sin and every judgment which is a curse, even a blood curse, because of some stupid thing that your ancestor said. Can an ancestor do something or say something and it affect you today? Of course. That's the way the world works. Daddy was rich. He had a lot of money. He was a drunk. He lost the plantation. And we all live in poverty today because of Daddy. Isn't that the story of history? Think of it as we close. Palm Sunday, somersaulting to Easter. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. His blood be on us and on our children! May we pray. Lord, help us as we think about this bizarre day, Palm Sunday. A day that shows humanity for what it is. Fickle. 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 Friends who don't speak to each other anymore. Families split apart. Churches rent asunder. It's nothing new. Lord, grant that each of us here may flee to the only place of refuge from a blood curse, which is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ poured out on earth, not as a curse, but as a blessing. Blessed is he, the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes in the name of the Lord, who at the cost of his own blood has fully satisfied for all our sins. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.